Hey, denk dran, dass auch dein Immunsystem Hunger hat. Und probier's mal mit den Gesundheitszielen zur Ernährung in der App Auka Navida. Hol dir Tipps, Rezepte und Challenges für dein gesünderes Ich. Jetzt die App Auka Navida downloaden und loslegen. Auka Plus. Aus Liebe zur Gesundheit.
Jedes Business hat Ambitionen und PayPal Open ist die Plattform, um sie wahr werden zu lassen. So können Sie als HändlerInnen bezahlt werden, wie Ihre Kundschaft es möchte. Und egal wo, online, im Laden oder unterwegs. Und wenn es Zeit ist zu wachsen, bietet PayPal ein Netzwerk aus Hunderten von Millionen PayPal-NutzerInnen weltweit. Und schnelle Finanzierungsoptionen und Tools, damit Sie ganz locker expandieren können. Das ist PayPal Open. Eine Plattform für alle Arten von Business. Erfahren Sie mehr auf paypalopen.de.
Welcome to the Richard Serrett Show. YouTube and Rumble Titan Viva Fry is here. We're going to plunge into the radioactive core of the Jeffrey Epstein scandal, the DOJ's flimsy claim, no client list, no blackmail, Epstein's suicide, crumbles under scrutiny with Attorney General Pam Bondi's job on the line and FBI Deputy Director Dan Bongino teetering on resignation. Ghislaine Maxwell's ready to unleash a bombshell before Congress, but will it expose the elite or be buried? Alex Jones warns of a Democrat-forged list, but what's the real game? The stakes? Catastrophic. This could cost Trump the midterms, lose him the House and the Senate, and spark impeachment, potentially ending his presidency and, no exaggeration, threatening the Republic itself. Viva Fry, the lawyer turned truth slinger, dismantles the deception with ruthless clarity. Next, the Richard Serrett Show, off and running for Monday, July the 14th, in the year of our Lord, 2025. Facta, non verba.
I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
We must not allow ourselves to be intimidated. Our task is not only to win the battle, but to win the war.
Stop repeating, we're not in Kansas anymore.
Take a look at this country through her eyes if you really want to see something. You'll see the whole parade of what man's carved out for himself after centuries of fighting.
You're out of order! You're out of order! The whole trial is out of order!
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature! And you will atone!
Seeking truth and justice in a battleground of deception and corruption, this is The Richard Serrett Show.
Hey, buckle up, friends, for an explosive deep dive with YouTube and Rumble sensation Viva Fry as we unravel the jaw-dropping fallout from the Jeffrey Epstein saga. The DOJ's bombshell memo claims no client list exists, Epstein died by suicide, there's no evidence of blackmail, and yet the controversy is far from over. Attorney General Pam Bondi faces intense scrutiny with calls for her resignation. FBI Deputy Director Dan Bongino is reportedly on the verge of quitting. And Ghislaine Maxwell, apparently ready to spill secrets before Congress. Alex Jones calls it the mother of all scandals, alleging a doctored client list by Democrats. What's the truth behind this web of power, money, and deception? Here to unpack it all, Viva Fry, a legal eagle turned digital warrior who blazes through the chaos of modern media with razor-sharp wit and unrelenting courage. I wrote that, Viva. It's right there. It's true. Welcome once again, Viva Fry. How are you, my friend?
I'm in disbelief as much as everybody else on the internet and everybody else in the world who's paying attention to this. Disbelief on the one hand at the news, and also like sort of dismay and disbelief at those who are saying, move on. He's been dead for a long enough time, and it's time to not even forgive and forget, just move on as though nothing happened. So, I mean, we'll get into it. It's insanity. It doesn't make sense from the get-go, that alleged memo. I mean, it's not an alleged memo. It's a confirmed memo, unsigned, undated, leaked to Axios, uploaded to the DOJ website. Todd Blanche, almost the White House lawyer, or the Trump lawyer, a week later saying, we all signed off on it when nobody signed off on it. I don't know if you could not have bungled this, even if it's the truth and you had to disclose this to the public. You could not have screwed up the delivery harder. And I don't know if it's, it almost feels like it's ominous.
So Pam Bondi, Attorney General, her earlier statements on Fox saying it was on her desk, whether she meant the client list or whether she meant the entire sort of Epstein file was on her desk, it certainly sounded like she was referring to a client list specifically. I mean, is this all on her? Is this her fault? Dan Bongino now threatening to resign. The, you know, a good portion of the MAGA movement is up in arms. People are losing faith in Donald Trump. Is this all on Pam Bondi?
Well, I, you know, I've put that question out there, and people reply to me and say, it's all on Donald Trump. I mean, he hires and fires, he picks his cabinet, and if they screw up, you know, he's got to act on it and not ostensibly cover for it, like many people feel he was doing in that press conference where he cut off the journalist asking about Epstein, saying, are we still talking about Epstein? He spent the better part of a decade talking about Epstein. That being said, the bungled rollout is definitely on Pam Bondi. I have not been enthralled with her performance, setting aside Epstein. You know, she has not been up to speed on a lot of the cases that are before the courts. She's dropped the ball on a number of cases, including Dr. Kirk Moore, who finally had the charges dismissed against him. This was a doctor accused by the Biden administration of destroying federal property when he destroyed COVID shots and issued fake certificates. Let Douglas Mackey go to appeal before the Court of Appeal for his meme conviction. She's still pursuing the Biden administration Roger Ver persecution, Bitcoin Jesus, you know, charging him with tax law violations for apparently not having paid income tax on Bitcoin, wanting to lock him up. So I said, as an AG, Epstein aside, she's done enough to be set aside and replaced. She couldn't have screwed this up any harder. It's not just that interview that she gave with John Roberts. In her letter to Kash Patel on February 27, she specifically refers to Epstein and his clients in referring to the fact that the SDNY FBI office was apparently hiding documents, destroying documents, or not responding to demands from the AG to provide Epstein documents. So to come out with that, you know, those statements, written and spoken, then to have Bindergate, where she gave knowingly to social media influencers or alternative media this binder that had nothing new in it and less than already publicly available, the day after having been on Fox News saying Epstein documents are going to drop and it's going to blow your mind, then to say we're going to release it in phases, and then you get to the phase of it doesn't exist. I mean, I don't know how you expect people to swallow that. So blame Bondi. I don't blame Bongino and Patel as much because they don't call the shots, but it couldn't have been done worse. I just, you know, does the buck stop with Bondi, or is she part of a bigger problem?
Phase one, which obviously, you know, obviously hints at more to come. Was she relying on that more to come from the Southern District in New York, the FBI there? Who was in charge of the Southern District in the FBI? And, you know, why isn't that person being dragged into the Oval Office and having his or her feet put to the fire?
I mean, this is where it's like past the buck, and also like it's turtles all the way down. They're going to say at the FBI, the Southern District of New York FBI field office, this is all that we have. You know, there's nothing more in the file because it was either destroyed or didn't exist before us. Then you're going to go back and you're going to go like, okay, let's go all the way back to Acosta's sweetheart deal with Epstein back in 2008.
Attorney Southern District, Florida, who then later became, I think, Deputy Labor Secretary. And he said, no, I was told from above, hands off Epstein, he's owned by intelligence.
This is a statement that he made. He said, basically, look the other way, he's intelligence, and that's it. And then, I think he had to resign, I forget what happened to Acosta as part of the first Trump administration. I think he had to resign because this was a scandal. But like, you go back then, and like, he's told that Epstein is intelligence, leave him be. Well, I mean, one might query as to the degree to which they investigated him back then before giving him the sweetheart deal. So the evidence might never have been procured in the first place because they might have been turning a blind eye to it because he's intelligence. Then you get into Jeffrey Epstein's relationship with Ghislaine Maxwell, sex trafficking. She got convicted and sentenced, and she's serving it now because she didn't die in jail. And then you look to her father, who, you know, was by all accounts intertwined with intelligence, not just Israeli, who had Mossad show up at his funeral. Then you get into Ghislaine Maxwell's sister, who's CEO or some function of a company called Chiliad, or Chiliad as they pronounce it, which is data collection. There's something more here. What doesn't make sense is the almost 180 of Bondi in particular. I can sort of almost understand how Trump is in a defensive posture now, where he's like, he can't admit that his picks are screwing this up so badly, so he's got to sort of take quasi-ownership of it and defend Bondi. But you cannot ignore what the hell is going on, because it will cost them the midterms and possibly 2028, because a lot of people are going to feel real disenfranchised and start suspecting. I don't believe it, period, full stop, that Trump is in on it. People are going to believe it, and you're going to have a hard time convincing them otherwise with what's been going on for the last 6 months.
I just spoke to Nick Bryant the other day, and Nick Bryant was very early on. I believe he was one of the first to publish the flight manifest, with the passenger manifest from the Lolita Express. He published that online, and he also published some of the contents of the Black Book, Epstein's Black Book, you know, with certain names that were circled. But let's assume that there is a client list, and I can't imagine, you know, it's on like one sheet of paper. It may be scattered across thousands of documents, who knows? But how reasonable is it to expect someone just to publish a client list when you are exposing names without, you know, investigating guilt or innocence? I mean, unless these are cases that are being currently prosecuted, how can you justify publishing a so-called client list?
Well, so that is the argument, where people are going to say there's going to be a wild degree of guilt through association merely by being associated with Epstein, even if some people, let's just take Stephen Hawking, went to the island just for a weekend. He, you know, there's always been the rumor that he engaged in some sort of orgy type behavior. But let's just say he was a scientist. He went to Epstein's island. Let's just even say he didn't like what he saw there, never went back. Mm-hmm. There'll be a tremendous amount of baggage, a dark cloud that would follow anybody who's even remotely associated, especially with the island. And they're going to say it's not fair to release it because it'll, you know, cast aspersions of it. Unfortunately, I'd say too bad. Like, okay, you went to the island, nothing happened. You assert your defense publicly. And if you've lived a good life, you know, it shouldn't be that hard to even dispel the myth that you're a child, abuser. But, you know, you don't go from him. He blackmailed Bill Gates. There's no question about that, with his relationship with that apparent 20. You don't go from evidence of blackmail, evidence of intelligence connections, evidence of video surveillance on his private island where Lord knows what was happening in his Manhattan apartment. You don't go from that to say, well, now we're shutting it down after 10 years of not having hyped it up, but 10 years of exposure. We're shutting it down now to protect the unindicted individuals who might suffer reputational harm if their names come out. I'm sorry. First of all, everybody knows who's in that black book. Everybody knows who's on the flight log because we've seen it. Now I think nobody's complaining about that. No injustice there. Who the hell went to his island? And then we can find out, oh, look, some of these names might be Prince Andrew, might have, you know, big ties in government, in political influence. The reality, I think, is a dark one. And I don't have any more evidence other than what everybody knows already. If you were to find out that, you can go one way or the other on this, but if other countries were controlling domestic policy, or if we were controlling foreign policy through blackmail by prostituting out children, I think American taxpayers might be good and pissed about that. And it might cause something of a social tear that might not be recoverable from. And then you might have Trump saying, this could risk bringing down the government if they knew what we did. Like, we're pimping out children for blackmail on foreign countries. People might not be okay with that. And now Trump might have to deal with the national security issue and say, okay, it can't come out. And now we got to find a way to get out of it. That being said, I think people would accept that explanation because people already believe it. If you were to just come out and say, it's a national security issue, we cannot release it, but there is something there. You might have people up in arms, but at least they'll say, I told you so, and now we understand why.
Alan Dershowitz, who was at one point implicated, of course, vehemently denies that he had any involvement, but he says there is a client list. He's seen it and he knows the names, but he can't reveal. What do you make of Dershowitz's comments?
Well, they were, he parsed his words very carefully, and he was almost not equivocal, but he says, yeah, there's a client list, but there's also fake plaintiffs or fake alleged abuse victims, fake victims, I should say. And so it's like, we can't disclose the fake victims because they might have been claiming victimhood for the purposes of extortion as well. So he's got an elaborate reason why they can't release the so-called list. And I would be curious because he was sufficiently specific. I'm not going to call him a liar because I actually believe him. I don't believe that he was involved with Epstein above and beyond representing him, which has come back to bite him in the butt. You know, he kept his underwear on. Everyone uses it as a meme. But the reality is he's getting a massage at a Florida massage parlor. It's good that he kept his underwear on. There's no evidence he went to the island and did anything unbecoming there. So all that said, he's really specific about, you know, if there's a gag order on the client list, I would imagine he's flirting with the limits of that gag order by being so specific and categoric about its existence, the people on it, names, individuals. But it's all a game of semantics. Like, they're going to say it's, you know, in that memo, the unsigned, undated memo, it refers to incriminating, quote, client list. And so there's a list of names. It's just not a client list. There's a list of names. It's just not incriminating. There's a list of names. It's incriminating, but it's not a client list. It might be an extortion list. So there were people. He had unindicted co-conspirators, period. I just was on with Megyn Kelly last Friday.
Yeah.
And Dave Arenberg, who used to be the Florida state attorney. I was planning for something more adversarial, and I'm glad it wasn't because he didn't change his tune. But in 2019, he was, as Florida state attorney, I think that's what his position was, but I might be wrong. But he was involved in law, you know, the legal process in Florida as a government official. He was talking about unindicted co-conspirators. We know there were unindicted co-conspirators with Jeffrey Epstein. And now we're being told there's no client list. Well, these all might be not euphemisms, but loose terminology for one and the same thing. Who was involved with Epstein, criminally or not? If they weren't criminally involved, well, I mean, okay, tough noogies, your name gets exposed. There was Justin Bieber. Everyone got involved in P. Diddy. Like, everyone was at a P. Diddy party. It got exposed. Are they all guilty? No. Do we maybe think some bizarre things? Yes. That's what comes with being tied voluntarily or involuntarily to a big story.
Persil sorgt schon seit 1907 für tiefenreine Wäsche, auch bei den Johnsons, oder Anna?
Das stimmt. Sogar meine Oma hat schon mit Persil gewaschen.
Und als Dankeschön für über 100 Jahre Vertrauen gibt's jetzt bis zu 15 Euro Rabatt auf unser Bestes.
Das mit der roten Schleife.
Genau, made in Germany. Mehr Infos auf unserbestes.persil.de.
Wenn es tiefenrein ist, ist es Persil.
Du willst beides, aktives Fondsmanagement und die Vorteile eines ETFs? Xtrackers aktive ETFs liefern genau das. Die Verbindung von smartem Portfolio-Management mit effizienter ETF-Struktur. Kosteneffizient und mit dem Potenzial für Überrenditen. Aktive Strategie trifft auf ETF-Effizienz. Informiere dich jetzt auf xtrackers.de. Zusammenwachsen. Investitionen unterliegen Risiken. Werbemitteilung herausgegeben von der DWS International GmbH mit Sitz in Frankfurt.
Here's a painfully obvious question. I'm sure I'm not the first one to ask this or to point this out. Why don't they go to the victims, who are all now adults, and ask them who the clients were, who they were abused by? There's a good place to start an investigation.
My understanding, and I may be wrong on this, so I don't want people holding me to this as a matter of determined fact. My understanding is that there might be NDAs as relates to settlements in some of the claims. But more specifically to your question, Richard, there's video out there of alleged victims talking about it years over years over years. So it's not like there's any lack of evidence for the victims claiming that there were other people involved. Now, some people say, well, their testimonies were unreliable. Some of their claims were tossed out, yada, yada. Some of them signed NDA, so you won't get any more details or names from them. But there's ample evidence already from the victims, the alleged victims, that men were involved who was not just Jeffrey Epstein. And the unfortunate thing about Virginia Giuffre is she's now dead. You know, in the entire time all of this debacle occurred, Virginia Giuffre allegedly took her own life. So, you know, that's the obvious question. The obvious answer is there's already ample evidence out there, just no names. And the most likely issue here might be that, you know, it's so amazing that Trump, for the first time in my memory that he's ever said it, says that the file's corrupt and untrustworthy. I'd never heard him say that before. I've been saying that for a while. That was my entire criticism against, not against Bongino and Patella's people, but against the statements that they were making is, okay, guys, you say that he killed himself based on the file you inherited. You say that there's no whatever based on the file that you inherited. You also say that the FBI, DOJ that gave you that file is so criminally corrupt, you're investigating them right now. So how the hell can you rely on it or expect us to take that? And they'll say, well, that's what we have. That's what we got. That's all we can speak to. And I understand that, but that's the conspiracy. So, but I had never heard Trump actually say, yeah, it's destroyed. All of the evidence is basically tainted. And so move along. I mean, that truth post truly caught people by surprise, even his most ardent MAGA followers. And he's got to listen to it.
I have not seen Donald Trump sort of misread the room, MAGA, in other words, since the whole COVID, you know, and the vaccines, where he was booed occasionally at public events. I haven't seen him do that since then. Who's got his ear? I mean, who do you think, is there anyone who can say to Donald Trump, you really need to address this. This is not the way to handle it.
Well, it's a good question. He does read his Truth Post's replies. So he is on Truth interacting with the replies, which he would have seen a virtually universal condemnation of that Truth Post, the longer one. So I know, you know that he's involved in Truth. He reads the replies. You know that J.D. Vance is listening to the people. J.D. Vance, the VP, goes on. I'm not disclosing anything private because they've mentioned it publicly, but he's been in discussion with Richard Barris from the People's Pundit. Richard Barris is an amazing pollster who pulled the election. He's amazing. And he is in touch with the people in terms of actually doing accurate polling. And when the whole Iran incident was going down, he was in discussions with J.D. Vance to let him know what the sentiment of the people actually is, not what reaches the president via Susie Wiles or Pam Bondi. So Trump is hearing, and some people hypothesize that he puts out these tweets specifically to get a reaction, to feel the room and to feel the reaction. But he'd better start. There'd have to be a damn good reason for why he's doing this, which some people will never be able to get by. Like, some people say, like, okay, if it comes out that he had to lie to you in order to achieve the results, some people still never forgive him. It's very unlikely that that's the case. So, you know, he better hopefully read the replies, but it's not even clear that he can change tack at this point enough to get back some of the people that he's lost, all of whom he needs in the midterms in 2026 and all of whom he needs for an election in 2020. And it's the most monumental mess up ever, because even if it is the truth, I don't believe it, but even if it is the truth, there was a better way to do it. And I could have strategized better than what they did.
Yes. No question.
An unstated memo that nobody speaks to until Todd Blanche purports on a Friday after a week of hell that everyone signed off on, when it's clear that Bongino, I'm not sure about Patel, didn't sign off on it based on their very public fight in the White House. To tell a lie to the people so long after the damage has been done compounds the damage.
Steve Bannon suggesting this could cost the Republicans 40 seats in the midterms. 40. There goes the whole, you know, MAGA agenda.
Richard, MAGA agenda. Yeah. Trump gets in potentially and removed from office if the Senate changes hands.
Yep.
It's like they will impeach him and they will convict him and they will remove him from office if they lose the Senate. And they don't, what do they have, like a buffer of 8 seats?
53 to 48, because 2 are independent, but they vote Democrats. So, well, we just saw what happened with the big, beautiful bill. J.D. Vance had to come in and cast the deciding vote. So it's razor thin. Enter Ghislaine Maxwell, who is reportedly ready to testify before Congress. I mean, what game-changing revelations do you think she could unleash? And why has the government allegedly never asked her to share what she knows?
I got things that I sort of quasi jokes that I want to make, but she's still alive. So the question is, you know, how much damning information does she have? She's still alive. She doesn't have in her possession anything. I presume whatever evidence she has of those implicated is already in the hands of authorities. And potentially already destroyed. I don't know what she would be able to have by way of evidence that could prove the existence of what might have been destroyed by the administrations prior that have had this evidence in their possession the entire time. So what's she going to do? Get up there and say, yeah, I saw Prince Andrew do it. I think, okay, do you have any evidence to them? Well, yeah, the FBI took it. Well, they don't have it. I mean, like, it's going to turn into that type of a game. What? She's got a lawyer. Like, what does she need to wait for Congress to do it under oath for? She could spill the beans right now. But maybe she's like, I want assurances that I will not be Epstein, you know, take my own life in jail if we believe that. So I don't know what, I'm trying to think in my mind of minds what revelatory statements she could make and substantiate before Congress. And then the thing is this, if she says wild statements that she cannot substantiate or provide concrete evidence for, it'll be disregarded. It is interesting to think of like this very, very sneaky thing, like what can be proven and what can't be proven and what can't be disproven, and come up with a falsified list that implicates members of the Republican Party. And congrats, by the rollout of this debacle, you've made it unfalsifiable to prove false what might be falsified information.
You did Alex Jones' show too, didn't you? You've been very busy.
Yeah, with Owen Troy. Friday was a wildly busy day. Megyn Kelly, or then my own show. And you know, trying to keep up and trying to, I don't want to miss anything in terms of information and details. It's just like the more I speak on the issue, the more people say, "Hey, did you see this video?" And you go look into it, like, "Holy crap!" And it's like, as much as I know, it's the tip of the iceberg, but it doesn't make anything better. Like Ehud Barak's involvement with Jeffrey Epstein doesn't make it less suspicious. Mossad at Robert Maxwell's funeral doesn't make this less suspicious. The company that Ghislaine Maxwell's family is involved in doesn't make this less suspicious. And everything that's transpired in the last 2 weeks doesn't make it less suspicious. So I'm just hoping there's still a happy ending to the story, because it's not going well right now.
Mama, gibst du mir dein Rezept fürs Hühnerfrikassee? Die Kinder lieben das.
Klar, ist doch ganz einfach. Gehst in den Supermarkt, kaufst Froster Hühnerfrikassee und haust das schön in die Pfanne. Genauso lecker wie von mir. Aber sag's keinem.
Doch, mach ich.
Hä?
Peter von Froster hier. Unser Hühnerfrikassee schmeckt wie von Oma selbst gekocht. Mit natürlichen Zutaten nach dem Froster Reinheitsgebot. Gibt's im Supermarkt.
Sag ich doch.
Froster ist für alle da.
Jones claimed, or is claiming, the Epstein Files is the mother of all scandals, and he's alleging the Democrats doctored a client list. Is there any evidence to support this, or is that a distraction from deeper truths?
I don't know. I love Alex, and there's no but to that. He's on point sometimes, and sometimes the predictions don't come to fruition. I've never seen evidence of a doctored client list. I presume if they were going to do that, they would have done that a while back. They would have tried to implicate Trump somehow. My bottom line takeaway, I don't believe for a second that Trump is directly involved in this or his family. If it was, it would have been out already. Whether or not members of the administration might have some connections which are embarrassing to Epstein, I have less of a problem, you know, contemplating right now. Whether or not some of the big donors to Trump's campaign might have some embarrassing ties, maybe not necessarily criminal, but I it's like, it's good one way or the other. If there's incriminating information that might embarrass the Republican Party to cost them the midterms and the election, okay, then that's what it is. It's going to cost them one way or the other then. And you're better off being prejudiced through disclosure of the truth than through concealment of the truth. So, but I've never seen anything. I've never heard of a doctored client list. And if they wanted to do something like that, it would have been very easy to do it a long time ago. That lawsuit against Trump from a 16-year-old girl who since recanted, you know, they made as much hay over that as they could. Trump, I think, is clean as a whistle. The only question is, who's involved? What does this reveal? And is it a national security issue to the point that they can't even explain? That's why they can't reveal. But we'll see.
Last question, and I guess it's kind of an involved one, but let's see what we can do with this. Let's imagine that there's an opening here for a reset. What do you think of the idea, for example, he fires Pam Bondi, he brings in a new attorney general, maybe someone like your governor, Ron DeSantis. They also appoint a special prosecutor to look into this. And what about impaneling a grand jury outside of Washington, D.C., maybe in Florida? Certainly that venue makes sense for a number of reasons in terms of Epstein. And let's start fresh. Let's start subpoenaing victims and other associates of Epstein. Start fresh.
That was effectively what I had put out on Friday. I said, like, Pam Bondi has to go because despite however much faith Trump says he has in her, and the more you have to say publicly she's doing a great job, I trust her, that's sort of like methinks he doth overcompensate too much. She's at the very least conflicted. So you don't have to fire her for bad job. Just say, look, we need a new AG because we can't have someone who's already taken a position on the Epstein file. Pam Bondi, thank you very much. Here's an appointment to whatever, find another position so that it's not insulting, maybe even a promotion. Bring in a special prosecutor, set a hard timeline as to when we're going to have a final report. And, you know, people are floating the idea of, I'm not sure that Ron DeSantis would be the best. I think he could be the governor at the same time, maybe, but I know people would have some political issues with that. Also, Matt Gaetz, people float as the name, but given some accusations that were made against him, you know the political fodder that would follow with that type of appointment. But get a badass in there. Who was it from Texas? It was Texas or Alabama or Mississippi, the attorney general. Bailey. I forget which state he's from. Get someone in as a hard-ass special prosecutor. Set a very firm timeline so that we have answers well before midterms in 2026. Go right to the source. See what Acosta subpoenaed. See what his warrants looked like back with the sweetheart deal. See if they were unduly limited because they didn't want to discover anything. And yes, you have to do it all over again and see what might have been. You find any evidence that was deleted, proactively deleted, or handed over to a foreign government. I mean, people will be satisfied and you're going to know that there's that they're there. Flip side also, by the way, there's a big semantics game with this. FBI says we don't have anything in the file. What about CIA? Like, okay, that's fine. FBI can plausibly say we have nothing in our file. If he was intelligence, FBI wouldn't have that stuff in their file. So open up the CIA file. It requires full transparency. Not shut up and stop talking about it because you're going to cost us the midterms and you're an anti-Semite for talking about it. So the more the browbeating into silence, the more they guarantee a loss of the elections because, you know, people are disenfranchised now. People feel it's more of the same. Nobody ever gets punished. And our savior, who they put their faith in Trump, seems to be no different. They need full transparency. And if it needs to, you know, even if it means investigate, knowing that some statute of limitations are over for some of the crimes, it needs to start from scratch. Because if the entire process has been tainted, you don't forgive, forget, and move on. You start from the very beginning to make sure that you can do as much as you can in reconstructing this, you know, this crime scene.
Viva, what's coming up on Rumble, YouTube, Viva Barnes Law?
Same old stuff, day in and day out. Keeping up. I'm going to keep on this because it's not going away, and it can't go away because if it goes away, people will have given up, and it'll be the end of Trump's second term. I want to have a positive impact on this presidency because I do think that all of our futures depend on it. And if this country back to the Democrat hands in 2026 and 2028, he gets impeached. They get power in 2028. It's done for. America's going to look like Canada. No shade on Canada. So day in, day out on this, everything else that's going on, live daily on Rumble, 3 o'clock, vivabarneslaw.locals.com. From all of our mouths to God's ears, may this be remedied sooner than later, because the way this has ended now or the way it is right now, it's not palatable for many. And, I won't call them sycophants, but the yes men in the Trump's administration have never been value added. They've always been destructive from the first term to now. And anybody telling Trump this is okay, it'll blow over. Trump needs to hear loud and clear. It's not okay. It's not going to blow over. And people are not going to be browbeaten and shamed by being called not truly MAGA into silence. And if they do that, they're going to lose the votes that they needed and that were inspired to vote for Trump in the first place and the second place for the midterms and 2028.
Yeah, the stakes couldn't be higher. I mean, we say this all the time, but this is a pivotal moment in history right here. And if it's handled incorrectly, you're right. The Republic could fall and drag Canada with it.
No, it has already been handled incorrectly. It's got to be remedied and fast. So, we all have our contacts, some lower than higher. But to the extent that J.D. Vance is listening to the People's Pundit, Richard Barris, to the extent that I know that there's members of the administration that listen to Viva Barnes Sunday night, follow me on Twitter. Hopefully the message is getting there. None of this is intended to be destructive or nefarious. This is trying to save the administration from making what could prove to be a catastrophic tactical mistake.
Viva, thank you as always, my friend.
Thank you very much.
All right, that's it for me. Thanks for listening. I'll speak to you again real soon. In the meantime, I remain unbowed, unbent, unbroken.